Okay, take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 9. We are going to continue, believe it or not, we're going to continue the kidnapping of the Apostle Paul. This morning, Paul is so obvious, the writings of Paul. And you know, when you kidnap Paul, you're actually stealing the risen Savior from people and them having the opportunity to hear about them. And just for review purposes, in case nobody hears this morning one from the website crowd, who are those that have kidnapped Paul so far? We have the deceivers, who are waxing worse and worse, evil communications, Christian videos, which don't talk about Paul's teachings at all, will rob our kids of Paul, profane and vain babblers, wrongly dividers. We have those who know nothing about God, period, the unknown God to them. We have the almosters, those that claim the originals, but we don't have the originals, so the best we can do is the King James. I guess I could call them the almosters. I could also call them the besters. The best we got, anyway. We have the Bible non-believers, period. They just don't believe there's a Bible anywhere. Anyway, we have churches that don't preach Paul, which his ways are supposed to be taught everywhere and in every church. We have the pastors who are actually ministers of righteousness, but it's a false righteousness they're putting forward, so they're demonic, they're of the devil. They're his ministers, he says. We looked at instructors instead of fathers, the pastors that don't care about the people, they just want the money, hirelings they're called. We have those who are envious of those that are getting somewhere in their life. They're actually making some changes in your life. And you've got people out there that do everything they can to rob Paul's teachings from your life. They're trying to get that out of your system. They want you back. Then we have those that are getting closer and closer to the tribulational style where they are filthy dreamers, they defile the flesh. This is all in Jude. Spots in your feasts of charity. The whole thing goes on. Murmurers, complainers. We talked about those folks this morning. Mockers. Sensual. They're into feelings. And then we made a couple comments about how as we get older, we understand more and more what that really means when during the tribulation we have no greater joy than to hear that our children walk in truth. And that's even true today. As life gets the way it's getting, knowing what the truth is through Paul, you can't have a better joy to know that your kids got it. But then it also goes the other way too. Okay, when they don't, it hurts. Then we talked about Matthew 6, the street preachers, those that are on the synagogues and in the streets that are there for their glory. And we got that crowd. Then we had the hard one. No, not yet. We had the folks that continue to follow the folly of modern Christianity. We got that one. But then we got into the hard one, which is possibly us, because if we don't tell people why we do or do what we do or why we don't do what we do, we just come up with some excuse not to do something or whatever, then we can rob these people that they need to hear what the risen Savior says about such and such. So we can be just as guilty of robbing our kids or our neighbors or our friends about Paul just as anybody else. And then we finished up with Satan himself can hinder people. Satan can hinder people from hearing what Paul has to say. He hindered Paul. So, you know, God's in control of everything. Yeah, God's in control because he can stop at any time he wants, but he lets it all go. And if we let Satan get in our way and stop us from hearing something or reading something or studying something or preaching something or whatever, God will allow it. Satan can still hinder Paul, so he can still hinder people today. So Satan can stop your kids from hearing what he needs to hear. So tonight, who are we going to look at? Well, we're going to go to Paul's day when he was there. Acts chapter 9. We're just going to look at some scriptures tonight of people that tried to stop Paul. And maybe for the sake of John up there, that Pastor Lejeune, and anybody else that's kind of new with this Paul stuff or whatever, this may be a sermon to recommend, I suppose, at least these scriptures anyway. Oh, I learned today that in copyrighted Bibles, you can't, you have to use so many words, so many percentage, you can't go beyond the percentage. I heard that if a person preaches from a modern Bible, he can only have 50% or less of his sermon have scriptures in it to make the copyright law properly. So a guy can come into these modern churches, if he uses too many scriptures, they can get him for copyright infringement. Well, that'll never happen here, right? King James Bible, for one thing, and then, I don't know, what, 80, I don't know what percent of our stuff is certain as Bible verses, but we get tons of verses in my stuff. So we're safe from that copyright problem. Isn't that amazing? They can only use half of their sermon can have Bible scriptures in it. Copyright law. Yeah, so we're going to look to these scriptures tonight. I'll try to keep my mouth back off bunny trails and stuff. And we'll look at Acts chapter 9. These are people that try to stop Paul. And they exist today, just like the Tobiah family still exists today. These people that tried to stop Paul, they still exist. Acts chapter 9, he just gets saved as such, and he's ready to roll. And he says there in Acts chapter 9, verse 22, he's telling people that Christ is the Son of God. He gets into verse 22. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. That's a great thing. He could prove it. And after that, many days were fulfilled. The Jews took counsel to kill him. What a reception. But their laying await was known of Saul, and so they prevented it, all this kind of a stuff. But his initial response was, when he went to tell his people the first time around, they tried to kill the guy. So you want to go tell somebody, you've learned something in your Bible, and it's exciting, and this kind of a thing, and what happens? They may not try to kill you physically, but they'll kill you mentally. They'll drop your friend, and you still take the hit. You still take the hit. So there's people all over in the book of Acts who want to stop Paul. Kidnappers. Let's go to Acts chapter 13. This is what people think of Paul's teachings. Here's Paul telling these Jews that he really was the Son of God, and he could prove it using their scriptures. Using the Old Testament, Paul could show these guys that this is Christ. So can we. 300 and some prophecies that we could show have all come true, and they don't believe it. Okay, Acts chapter 13, verse 6, here we go. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was, with a deputy of the county, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But, Elmyris, the sorcerer, for so was his name by interpretation, that's the Bar-Jesus guy, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. So here we got, Paul's been invited by somebody to come tell him about what he has to teach, and this other guy, devil possessed as such, tried to stop it. Have you ever been talking to somebody and somebody else is in the crowd and they don't want you to talk about it? They'll do something to get you out of there, whatever. So here's that example. And then Paul comes through with a real nice, loving, graceful explanation to this man, you know. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I like this, set his eyes on him. Sam and Austin, and Olivia, you ever had your parents set their eyes on you like you've been had? And you're about to get a lecture that, and don't you dare go, don't you dare do that kind of a thing. This is what he did. He was going to let them have it. And said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Somebody tries to stop us from telling people about the risen Savior and Paul's teaching, etc., etc. They're an enemy of righteousness. They are perverting the right ways of the Lord, keeping Paul away. So there's an example. That's always a good way to put it. Memorize that verse 10 if you'd like, and just look at somebody sometime. Look them in the eye and say, you child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness. I couldn't do it without smiling, though, because I know that I'm memorizing a scripture thing. But, you know, wilt thou not cease to perverse the right ways of the Lord? Then walk away. In about 3 seconds, do a quick duck, because there might be something flying. But that's what they think of Paul. They're trying to kidnap, get rid of his stuff. Look at verse 45. Acts 13, verse 45. I guess we go to 44. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Boy, this is something. All two, she's coming over here Sunday morning. We're excited. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. So there's his response. They were envious. Now, obviously, people are not going to be envious of our numbers. But I think that they would be envious of the teachings if they could ever hear them. I would certainly think so. But we've learned in the Bible that when somebody's envious of somebody, they don't treat them well. They're envious of Joseph, I said this morning. They're envious of Jesus himself. They're envious of this Bible. They're envious of Paul. And they'll be envious of you. if you're getting somewhere with what Paul's teaching you. Okay, so there's that one. Let's go down here to verse 50. Things are going well. The Gentiles are excited. We turn to the Gentiles, he says, in 46. And 47 is kind of what I call the Greater Commission. Paul also has to go to the ends of the earth. I just call it the Greater Commission because he's got more to say than the Great Commission ever thought of. And then in verse 48, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. So 49, the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Wow. In verse 50, but the Jews, these are law people. They want the law. And when we read about the Jews today, I personally think of the Great Commission and the Jesus teachings of the Gospels because that's still to the Jews. So it's still law. And it may be a little bit different than the Old Testament law because Christ says, you know, you heard it said that this, but now he says, well, that's still a law. They still have to do this. In fact, I know we said it before, but let's say it again, just for the record here. Keep your finger there in Acts. We'll finish that up in verse 50. But talking about this first part is always the Jews are stirred. The Jews are envious. And we mentioned the fact that it's Jewish religion that's being taught all over America with a Great Commission because it's still Jewish teachings. Look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 9. Here's just a little verse that I've wondered for years what it must really stand for. In the Philadelphian church age, this is when everything was going well, or at least had possibility to go well. And he says in verse 8 that God says, I have set before thee an open door, and nobody can shut it, you know, and you have a little strength, but the Word of God is the strength, that kind of a thing. We see in verse 9, and I've always wondered about this, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. And you look at that, and you recognize the Great Commission is teaching Jewish teachings. I just wonder if maybe that verse right there doesn't slap that whole Great Commission thing. Because they say they are Jews, but they're following Jewish teachings. They're following the Gospels. They're following what Jesus taught to the Jews. And if they go to the end books, there's still teachings to the Jews. So it's like they think they're a Jew. And if that were to be the case, he says, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. What does that mean? Well, Paul says in Romans 11:25 that he's given us everything so that they want what we have. Remember? Isn't that kind of what that could be talking about there? They're coming to us because we've got everything. And to know that I have loved thee. How do they know that? Look what Christ has done for us. He wouldn't have to confess anything. We just have to put our faith and trust in him. And he hands us the whole platter. And it's his love, and he gives us his words, and he tells us how to understand them. Boy, I tell you, if that isn't love, I don't know what is. And these people that are getting this, he says, that's the synagogue of Satan. Boy, start talking like that on the street corner. Tell Jim he's a member of the synagogue of Satan. So when he's running around with this devil's costume on, and he says, I'm, you know, kind of a ploy thing, he may be in uniform. You know, he may be in the proper uniform there. Revelation 3:9, that's an amazing verse in there about the Jewish thing. Anyway, here we go. Let's go back. So we're back at, I'm going to turn it, I mean, even I get chilly up here. What am I, right here. Hang on there, neighbors. I need to have a pulpit control thermostat. There we go. Come on, you don't know when to stop. There we go. Okay. So we are back at Acts chapter 13, verse 50. But the Jews, what got me started with this whole Jewish thing today. Anyway, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas. So, honorable and devout women, the officials of the community, they don't want Paul. They just don't want Paul. Well, let's keep going. Fast ones here. Look at Acts chapter 14, verse 2. Here it is again. Now we have these unbelieving Jews stirring up the Gentiles. I mean, Paul's here. He's getting more and more to the Gentiles there. And so these Jews, they can't get rid of Paul, so they stir up the Gentiles. Maybe they'll get rid of Paul. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. You know, if somebody can't get rid of me, or they can't get rid of Paul's teachings, or they can't get this King James Bible rightly divided out of this church, then I guess it better just stir you folks up. Maybe you can make it happen. This is exactly what happened here. So, why are we looking at these again? Because this is what happens when you try to preach Paul. People want to kidnap him. We went through the list this morning, but tonight we got scriptures to show that they really tried. Look at Acts chapter 14. Still chapter Acts 14. Look at verse 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. There's the charismatic stuff right there. That people have to have faith to be healed. And if you're not healed, Lewis, I mean, there you are. Your leg still hurts, your back still hurts, because you just don't have the faith to be healed. That's where they go with this stuff. That's why you got to rightly divide Paul as well. said with a loud voice, stand upright on my feet, and he leaped and walked. Now think about that. This guy had never done that. Uh-oh. One of those TV things? Okay. Don't need to distract the audience out there. It's bad enough in here. I just get the Flowbee going again. I'll just suck that thing off again. This time I'll start at the neck and work up. I'll shave with that thing. Oh, was it? Was it just a piece of something? Hey, Jason. I mean, do I need to worry about being cared for here? I mean, look at that. I mean, here we are. Used to have a mustache, but then I have pineapple chicken stuck in the mustache, and that doesn't work either. No, it's fine. Because there's probably people out there going, does he know that he's got a feather in his hair? And I call it Yankee Doodle too. Anyway, where are we at here? Thank you, Jim. I'm glad somebody is, you know. Okay, faith to be healed, verse 10. Jimmy's having a good time with his faith to be healed one, because you know, that kind of a thing. Here we go, verse 10. Said with a loud voice, stand upright upon thy feet, and he leaped and walked. That was my point. Here's a guy that's never walked since he was born. He knows how to jump up and walk. That's kind of a weird thing, but anyway, whatever. And when the people saw what Paul had done, wow, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lyconia, Lyconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, and because he was the chief speaker. I guess you got to study the planets to know why that means what it means. But then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out, saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We are also men of like passions with you. We like TV. We like videos. We like Christian movies too. It's not a big thing. Now come on. And preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities as we have unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. He let them do it, you know. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven at fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained lay the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. So what happens here? What did they do? They turned Paul and Barnabas into gods. Now, that's not what Paul is. Just a man. He's a wretched, lowly, just like we are, were, and still had to follow the flesh. Or chose to follow the flesh sometimes when he shouldn't have. He's just no different. And he's not a god. He was a man. So they can take Paul away just by worshiping Paul. He becomes something different. Oh, I tell you, it was just a mess for those guys. Look at, let's look here at Mark. No, let's go here to Acts 15. Acts 15, it talks about Mark. Acts 15, verse 37. So we got a staff meeting here now, and these guys are going to go off and go someplace. We probably should do 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But, got a problem here now. Paul thought not good to take him with them. See, we got a problem now amongst the little crew here. Who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. You mean that happens with Paul? Yes, that even happened with Paul. A problem over this guy named Mark. And Paul chose Silas and departed. So how does this rob Paul from people? Well, we got a contention there. And the guy that somebody wanted to go with him, and he ended up picking somebody else. And stuff like that can just keep people from paying any attention to Paul. Or to this King James Bible. Or to me. Or to you. Paul chose Silas and departed. And on they went. But that was contention that they, it says there, was so great that they departed asunder. They walked away from each other. That happens even then. Let's look at Acts chapter 16. We don't want to see that happen. We don't want to see anybody out there in the website look at Jason or Hugh or Rick or Brian or Mark or anybody and just go, well, hey, you know, you guys and fight, and then split up. It happens. It happened right there with Paul. Acts 16, look at verse 16. I guess we could... And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Oh, they're one of those kind. Probably some teacher somewhere or something, you know. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And we've had people say to us, or say to people around us, oh yeah, nice Christian people, those Tushy people. You know, and what he preaches there, yeah, good stuff. You know, we hear it at the fair and stuff, you know. And Paul knows what's up here. He knows this lady. And he said, and this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, how can Paul be grieved when this lady was saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God? She's over here making bucks out of with doves and little crosses out of the Bible and CDs and videos, all this kind of stuff. Probably had a bunch of Pastor Pirate things there and probably a bunch of Veggie Tales and this whale thing. Jonah. There we go. All these Jonah things. So this lady is selling all these things, making big bucks, you know, and Paul knows something's wrong here. Something's wrong here. And he says to her, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, okay, the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. Can you imagine today? Here's rightly dividing Paul again. Jimmy, I go visit, you know, I go to somebody's house or whatever, and this lady starts telling me some good things. Oh, we love your church. Here's another verse I need to memorize. I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. You know what happened to me? I would see a frying pan really up close. This is a different time. This is why you got to rightly divide with Paul. But Paul knew what to say. He knew what to do. Well, that went over really well. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, I mean, it worked. The hope of their gains was gone. They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. I can just see Paul and Silas going, here we go again. We do something good for God, and now we got to go, and we're going to have to get whipped and beat for this thing. But that's okay. They didn't mind. These men being Jews, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive. You know, we teach that Christ took care of sin. Whoa, you know, you can't be teaching that. No way. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. I don't think he meant comfortably. So there you are again. There's just another example of people that just don't want Paul's teachings, and Paul's teachings right there worked. They work. And that's just what happens. Look here at... let's go to Acts 17 now. Let's look at Acts 17, verse 1. Yeah, we can do these. Yep. Acts 17, verse 1. More people that didn't want to hear Paul. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. There was a synagogue of the Jews. Where was the synagogue of the Jews? And Paul, as his manner was, which I like that, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days, oh, 3 Sabbath days? He did this on the Sabbath? Reasoned to them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. He's getting across all these people. Ah, but verse 5, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, there it is, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar. They set the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason. Just happened to be Jason that was going to get in trouble because of what Paul was preaching. And sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Now, didn't that say back there, took unto them certain fellows of the baser sort and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar? They did it. They set the city on an uproar. And it says right here that they're accusing them of turning the world upside down. No, they're the one doing it. Whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city. They're taking security of Jason. I tell you, they just don't want to hear it. They just don't want to hear it. So there's that. Let's go here to Acts 17. Look at verse 16. Here's another spot. We don't have to go very far, do we? Now, is it too hot down there now? Are you like roasting to death down there? Okay. Acts 17. 17:16. Here we go. 17:16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit, there it is, his spirit, talked about that Sunday, was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. That bothered him. I mean, he was bothered by that. So we get bothered by stuff we see still, or we just kind of ho-humming we expect it to be? Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews, and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. That looks like a public ministry to me. But I also notice this, in the market daily with them, not at them. Maybe that's something to think about. But anyway, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Other some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. We all know that's not possible. We know that God can't wipe out sin from anybody. We know that Jesus can't do this, and we know that Paul's crazy. Who's this babbler Paulson guy anyway? And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? Well, that was nice. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. They're asking. This is nice. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. They don't want to hear this. Well, then Paul lets them have it with a sermon at Mars Hill. So we'll skip that. But we go over here to verse 32. He's all done now. Did his part. And says, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Well, that was good. But some said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So that was good too. So, but he got the mocking. Okay, let's go here to Acts chapter 19. I don't know about you, but I'm like really hot all of a sudden. Acts chapter 19. Okay, I'm going to put this on freezer. There we go. Okay, Acts chapter 19, verse 24. And you know this story. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for a dime. You go to this church long enough, you never have to read your Bible, because we do it here for you. Isn't that nice? just call me, don't go there, okay. Whom he called together with a workman of like occupation, and said, sirs, we know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone in Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, This Paul has persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there be no gods. You're kidding. Really? There's no gods? No, I can't believe they say such a thing, which are made with hands. So that not only this, our craft is in danger to be set at naught, because our money, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised. They despise? How can they do this? I mean, Ellen, she's done so many good things for us, and we despise Ellen, you know. Or Joseph. I mean, we despise these guys, you know. And her magnificence should be destroyed. The temples, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir and all these great things they have. And I've been to a rehearsal, sat in the front pew, and I recognize that they did an evangelistic service during a choir rehearsal. I mean, these people are out to get you. And I just despise that stuff. It needs to be destroyed. Well, that's just your opinion. Verse 28, and when they heard these things, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Great is Ellen. Great is Peter. Great is Joseph, Dr. Peter. Great is Jim. Great is, you know, and Paul destroys that stuff. And the whole city was filled with confusion. They just got to get rid of Paul. Let's do another one here. Let's go to Acts 20, verse 28. Acts 20, verse 28. Paul's getting ready to kind of depart here a little bit, and he says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock. Now, remember I've said that Paul doesn't call us sheep. Jesus really isn't our shepherd because we're not the sheep. And this is as close a reference as you're going to get to a flock. But who says it's sheep? Couldn't it be a flock of birds? You know, so, no, we know whatever. We know what he's talking about. That was just a little shot there. But he says, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Come on, pastors, preachers, you guys. You need to feed the church of God, which I trust our website does as well as our own church. And he says, this church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Ephesians chapter 5, by the way. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. So, again, we have to hit it home. We say, listen, who are these people that can take away Paul, kidnap Paul? We can. We could. I mean, you know, we really just don't know what's going on in Jimmy's mind, for example. He's been coming here, you know, very nice to me, plays guitar and everything. You know, one of these days I could get sick and I could have to call in sick or whatever. And Jimmy said, I'll be glad to come up and take the pulpit for you, Pastor. Jimmy gets up here and destroys everything that Paul's taught here. And you guys go, that was a good sermon, Jimmy. I've never heard it so well. And I've never seen it look so good. Remember the first time I went down to visit the Edders down in Kiowa? Remember that? I did not want to go. Why did I not want to go? I didn't think there'd be a church when I come back. I called every day. How are things going? What's going? How's it going down there? Up there, whatever. And the people I would call would say, well, it's a little tense, but we'll make it. No, don't tell me stuff like that. So, you know, and Paul says, listen, it can happen from within, right here within. There was a couple of years ago that I recognized we're going to go down this line of path with Paul, and somebody else isn't. I could tell. And, here's my first pastoral way to earn my money here, and it got taken care of. But I was afraid that when somebody did what they... I got to be really careful, you know, how I say these things. Somebody's going to go do something. I wonder how many were going to go with them, and there goes our money, there goes my income, and there goes my health, and my wife, and my kids, and we're just going to die. Because it can happen anytime. It can still happen anytime. Chuck. Chuck had called Jimmy up on the telephone. Hey, Jim. Hey, Chuck. You getting tired of this Paul stuff? Jimmy goes, I'm tired of this stuff. Terrible. You know? And then Marilyn calls. And before you know it, Sue and Marilyn got a whole new lady service going on here. We call it the circle. Remember the circles they have in churches? And all these ladies get together, have a little circle. We probably have to have a little square. It'd just be a little different. And they get back, and the ladies would finally say, we finally got control back. That's how it can happen. It can happen. Oh, well. also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. See, Jim, you'd be perverse things, what you'd be doing, to draw away disciples after them. Anyway. I probably better not say any more of that. I could, but I better not. Let's go to Acts chapter 21 here. Verse 26. Just a couple more things here. People just don't want Paul talked about. Telling Jason, hey, listen guys, use the phrase risen Savior. Paul once in a while, we're still supposed to follow Paul, but boy, people just choke over the word Paul. This is amazing. Acts chapter 21, verse 27. What do we have there? Oh, okay. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him, that's Paul, in the temple, stirred up the people and laid hands on him. I don't suppose in a very spiritual fashion. Crying out, men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law. Paul teaches against the law. He teaches against the people. And this place, this church, Paul's against this stuff. And further brought Greeks also into the temple. How could they do that? They brought Gentiles into church with them. And hath polluted this holy place. For they had seen before with him in the Trophimus at Ephesus, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. A little sidelight there. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. That's not a good sign. And as they went about to kill him, I like that phrase, then he was protected by the chief there. So, another example, I mean, the guy is just not well received. Look here at Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23, verse 12. Paul's had his chance to present his testimony, etc., etc., and again, he's not well received. But this one is even a more serious group. Verse 12, and when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40, which made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now there is a diet. Just quit eating until we quit preaching Paul in this church. You lose all the weight you want. Now therefore, ye with the council, signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him. See what's going on here? Let's invite the pastor over. You know? And let's make him think we have some questions. Then we'll kill him. We'll put him in his place. We'll hit him up. Boom. Whether he be physically killed or spiritually killed or whatever. Mentally killed, whatever. Because it says that we or ever he come near are ready to kill him. Conspiracy. So that little story goes on. Look at Acts chapter 24, verse 1. You know, this is strange. You may not recognize what I'm going to say here. And I won't get into detail. I just can't get into details. But my little moron, little musical mind here is telling me that all these things that we've read here tonight, they've happened here. You know that? This Paul thing has been such a shock to people that if it didn't happen here within our church building itself, it's happened out there with some website people or people that we know. I mean, I haven't gone to anything here yet that I don't believe somewhere we haven't tasted that stuff here. Isn't that weird? And I'm just itching to tell people the stories. Because I want people to realize, I don't want them to know the details. It's none of their business. But what is their business is, this is real. What's going on in the book of Acts to Paul still takes place today. Whether it be an old person, middle-aged person, young person, woman, man, whatever it is, these things have happened. I've talked with Festuses. I've talked with Felixes. There have been conspiracies against me or against this church. There have been, we have taken the joy out of people's, taken the fun out of people's homes. We have robbed people of some income if they were really going to be serious. They need to change what they were doing. We've done all this. Isn't that amazing? Anyway, Acts 24, verse 1. And after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, "Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by the providence," a little flattery there, "we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldst hear of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, causes problems." And what's short for pestilent? Pest. This guy is a pest. "And a mover of sedition, stirs people up among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took, and would have judged according to our law." And then the story goes on. We take him with great violence, and there goes the rest of that story. Look down here at verse 22. "Now when Felix heard these things that Paul was saying there," Paul defended himself, "when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, 'When Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter.'" And it goes on, a little story there about Felix and his wife and these things and Paul, that sort of a stuff. We go down to verse 27. 26. In 26, Felix wants trying to make money off of Paul, if at all possible here. But he says in 27, "But after 2 years, Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews the pleasure, left Paul bound." So, some people like to get something out of you, but they still like to see you kind of miserable yet. So there's Felix, his testimony there. And then lastly and finally, for tonight, nobody better than Festus, chapter 25, verse 9. "Festus," again, "willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, 'Wilt thou go up to Jerusalem there and be judged of these things before me?'" Come on, I'll invite you over. Let's go up there and let's take on the King Agrippa, et cetera, et cetera. So he does. Paul goes up there, does his thing. And we see Festus's response in verse 24 of chapter 26. Acts 26, verse 24, he says, when Paul's all done, and as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." So the last thing is you're just accused of being a nut. Just a nutcase because of what you're trying to say to people. So when anybody accuses you of being a nut, just do that thing I said this morning. Well, what's any nutter than you? Just keep on doing wrong and just you confess your sins. We just don't have to confess ours because Christ died and paid for ours, and because of that, we're trying to realize the love and the goodness of God. We're trying to stop doing things because God loves us so much. You're trying to stop doing things because God's going to kill you or beat your family up or whatever. And that's not true. So, no, we're a nutcase to think that Christ really did what he said he did. That makes us a nutcase to believe that stuff. Those are the people that were after Paul. And they still exist today. Amen.